Well, I love the text that I think it's of all of the texts that we've taken in this series, this one tops it all. It's just really a blessing. And it's amazing that Peter has gone through the whole first chapter into chapter 2 explaining who we are before he ever starts talking about what we should be like, what we should be doing. So this series from 1 Peter has introduced this idea of being saints, holy ones, set aside unto God, saints. And we've looked at several descriptions of who we are as Christians: hopeful sojourners, tested believers, holy children, a reborn brotherhood, and finally, this idea that we are a household of priests. The body of Christ is a community where each member is a priest. Jesus was the builder of this community. In saying, "I will build my church," he laid himself down as the foundation for the building. And Peter describes that in this passage. In verse 4, he says Christ is called the living stone. The living stone. And he has made us into be, and this is our first part of this passage, the living stones of God's household. He is the living stone, and we are also living stones in God's household. Our identity as living stones is in our identification with Christ, the primary living stone. In verse 4 it says, "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him." That word precious appears 3 times in this passage. He is a precious stone. He cost God a lot. The idea of becoming one of us to die on the cross, that cost God a lot. That's why this stone is precious. Precious. It's popular to say that, well, all faiths lead to God. That's a popular statement, but it's not a true statement. Because only a faith that God establishes can bring us to Him. Can bring us to Him. He has established a faith for us to believe in, and that faith is that living stone. In verse 6 it says, "For in Scripture it says," and this is from the Old Testament, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." We must choose the right faith. In verse 7, the first part of it, it says, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious." That's the second time that word occurs. This stone is precious to us who believe in that stone. But we must not only let it be a head belief. It must be a heart belief that is acted upon. In other words, we must live out this faith and act upon our belief. Jesus taught this when He said in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation was on a rock." What is that rock? It is Christ's teachings, but not His teachings alone. It is Him. He's the precious living stone where these teachings come from. What happens if you don't believe? Well, that's also in this passage. What happens in verse 7 and 8? "But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message." What is the message of the stone? You know, when they disobey the message. Look what it says in Matthew. It completes what Jesus said. He said, "Those who build their house on the rock will stand firm, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I don't know if you've seen the recent things on the TV of LA when the rain started falling. There was a lot of loose sand, loose mud that just washed away. It wasn't rock, it was mud, it was sand. And it just washed over the freeway, washed cars away and everything. Because it was loose. And you cannot make that to be a foundation where you build a house that will stand against the storms of life. A foundation is for a building to be built upon. That's what the foundation is for. In verse 5 it says this, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." We are being built into a spiritual house. It says in this passage, a holy priesthood. That's why I've entitled this message, "The Saints, a Household of Priests." We're called to be living stones because we are people, living people, moving around, but we're in a building. That's an amazing illustration. We're living stones. We don't stay put. We move around in the building. We're not meant to be static. We're meant to be living. We're meant to be moving. And we're people built into a temple, but it's a temple that's mobile. It goes into the whole world. We're a household of priests. There was a Spartan king who boasted to a visiting monarch of the walls of Sparta. And the visitor, seeing no wall, said, "Where are these walls that you boast about?" And the king pointed to his troops. "These are the walls of Sparta, each man a brick." And that's what we are. We are each one a living brick, a living stone. And you know, bricks are useless if they just lay around. They must be incorporated into a building, to form a building, and then they are useful. A Christian's destiny isn't to remain alone, but to be part of the fabric of the church. To be a living part of the church. In wartime, a man trying to defend his country will fail if he tries to do it, he tries to accomplish that goal on his own. "I'm going to defend my country." And he just goes out on his own and tries to defend it. Well, in order to accomplish his goal, he must stand shoulder to shoulder with other soldiers of the same mind. And they must be in unity and they must go forward together. And that's what the church is all about. Individualism in Christianity is really an absurdity. It's an absurd idea because that's not what God created us to be, is individualistic. He created individuals, and each of us has specific gifts that are just precious to us and precious to other people. We share, but that's why the sharing can go on. I have things that you don't know. You have things that I don't know. That's why the sharing time is one of the most important parts of this service, I believe. Because we can bring things that God is teaching us that the rest of us don't know, but we can be built up and strengthened by them. So we are a body of believers. We are the body of Christ, a community of spiritual fellowship. We are a spiritual house, the fulfillment of the historical temple of the Old Testament. And the temple of the Old Testament was sort of static. You built the temple and it was there. But we are more like the tabernacle. You could take the tabernacle and set it up, and then you could take it down and move it to a new location and set it up again. That's how Christianity is. Our bodies are the fulfillment, the physical fulfillment of the temple. But our internal born-again spirits, our born-again souls, that part is the internal part of worship in the temple. And we are met together here in our bodies, but it's the spirit and the unity of all of that worship that goes on here when we sing and pray and focus our hearts on the Lord, then we are in that place of internal being manifested through our bodies externally here in this worship service. And hopefully this service will be a physical thing in this community that will shine spiritual light to the community. It's interesting. The word church and the word église in French. I'm practicing my French recently, trying to brush up on it because I'm losing my vocabulary. But the word in church, the word for church in French is église. Église. Une église, you know, l'église. And the word church in English is from the word kirka. And the word kirka is a building, a physical building. But the word église is the word that comes straight from the Greek, ekklesia. That's the word in the scriptures for church. And the ekklesia is a called out assembly. We have been called out of the world to assemble together. That's what the church really is. But we have a physical location. It may move. Hey, they may move us to a new location here at Eschaton. But we are the church. We are the église. And this little building is the kirka. So we're a mixture of the two. We have a larger destiny than individualism. That's why we are a collective body. Our faith has put us on a rock-solid foundation, the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ. He is the living stone, and we become living stones as well in God's household, the church. But what are our spiritual sacrifices? What are the spiritual sacrifices of God's household? In verse 5 it says this, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The idea of every church member being a minister. You've heard that idea. Every member a minister. I think you probably heard it before, but I've heard it a lot. The idea of every church member as being a minister comes from our identification as living stones, a holy priesthood built into a spiritual house. It says in verse 9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Those are quotes from the Old Testament. You see, as a chosen people, Israel failed in its calling to be that chosen people. Exodus chapter 19 says this. It says what we were called, what Israel was called to be. "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." See, they were called to be priests, all of them. There was a priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, but there was everybody was supposed to be a minister for God. They failed in that. The Old Testament gave us many good examples to follow, but it also gave us many things to avoid, and we've got to read the Old Testament with that in mind. But as Israel, just as is with Israel, God had delivered them out of Egypt. God has delivered us out of dark captivity. It says in verse 9, "That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Sin blinds us, but God's grace, it enlightens us. That's why it's so precious to come here and learn from the Word of God, because His Word enlightens us. If we have some dark areas of His life, that's why we need the Word, to wash those areas clean. So we are called, just as Israel was, from insignificance. As a nation, they were insignificant. And God called them to significance. That's what God has done with us, a special significance. Verse 10, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. It's okay for you if you want to feel a little special as a Christian, because you are. You are special. Why are we special? What makes us special? We're not special because of what we are. We're special because of what God has made us. What makes us special is God's love. It is shown. It's been shown to us by His grace and mercy. Verse 10 is completed with this. It says, "Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." God's love covers the whole situation that we're in. He covers it fully. Our grace, or His grace, blesses us with what we don't deserve. And His mercy spares us from getting what we do deserve. So He's got us covered with grace and mercy. And God's people experience a special sense of fulfillment because we've been given special work to do. What is that work? Verse 5. Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. How do we do this? How do we offer these special spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God? Well, first of all, we are to often offer to Him spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by declaring the praises of Him. By declaring the praises of Him. That's what this verse says. That's why sharing time is a testimony time. It's a time to share our testimony of blessings coming to us through Jesus Christ. That gives Him praise. That gives Him glory. That is real worship when we share our testimonies or what God has shown to us. That is a testimony and it gives glory to Jesus Christ. That is worship. Sharing time is not just an addition. No, it's one of the heart of our priesthood. It's the heart of our ministry. It's the heart of worship. And we're to offer, it says here, let us continually, therefore through Jesus Christ, this is in Hebrews 10:13, through Jesus Christ, therefore, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And in our sharing time, we can have those things as we bring God has blessed us during the week. Then we're to offer another thing. We are to offer the testimony of a redeemed life. In verse 11 and 12, it says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires." I urge you sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. We're to be a holy nation in the midst of national failings, national sinfulness. And you know there's a lot of that around. But we're to be a holy nation in the midst of our nation that maybe is failing God miserably sometimes. And we're to be a people belonging to God, shining His light in a dark world. What did Jesus say? He said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." It's almost like Peter took off on that, what Jesus said, and finished up this statement when he said that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. The body of Christ is a community where each member is a priest. And it's very interesting, the Latin word for priest is the word pontifex. You've heard that word before. The Pope is a pontifex, right? Well, he's a priest. And that word, in the Latin word for priest, pontifex, is what it was used in the Latin translation of the New Testament. And what it means is this, bridge builder. Bridge builder. And isn't that an appropriate name for us as priests of God? We are called to be bridge builders. As a household of priests, we're to be bridge builders helping others to come to God. And that means getting to know God better and better and better ourselves, and then introducing others more and more and more to Him. Getting to know Him better, and getting to introduce Him more. Being a bridge builder. What are the sacrifices we have to offer? The testimony of our praise for what Jesus has done for us, and our testimony of living a new life, which He purchased for us on the cross. Wow! What an identity we have as Christians, as the saints. What a gathering we have when we come together to share our testimonies together, to give praise to our King. What a wonderful opportunity this is to invite others into this fellowship through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this word. This is a powerful word, Lord God. This is a powerful word that directs our lives and directs our ways, directs our word, our words. I pray, Father God, that You might just bless us as we meditate upon who we are as the saints. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.